Basically recording now. Okay, I think we're recording. Okay.
I'm interviewing Don Cooper about an idea for cooperative living based on localism. So Don, describe the new enhanced co-op idea that you have, which is a form of localism. Perhaps you could start with the concept of place and the ideal of becoming free.
Okay. Thank you, Jan Burdick, for interviewing me. Basically, we're all trapped in the capitalist system. And on the other side of that, we have these very onerous regimes, socialist regimes, communism, whatnot, where people don't have any freedom whatsoever. So either you're a rich man in a capitalist system or you're high up in the government in a socialist system. That's the only way to be free in this world, it seems. So how do we really be free? It seems like we have a lot of things that we can do ourselves that we don't need the government for if we just cooperated. What is the main problem in America today? There's no jobs, but even if you have a job, you don't have any free time. We could be working together to eliminate the problem of wage slavery and the fact that we don't have any time if we cooperated on providing and guaranteeing subsistence for all within our community. Now that sounds like a kind of a fluffy thing to say, but this is actually a very concrete idea about how we can literally focus solely on subsistence with each other within a physical community, that is people that live nearby each other within walking distance. And that's important because our place is, it really is our community. And we have lost community in the modern age to a large extent. We've become what I call hyper-mobilized. People are going here and there to very far-flung places for their jobs, for their college, which is in one sense a wonderful thing, but in another sense, it creates an unstable environment. We're reliant on an abstract system as from the point of view of the community. It's not organic. It's not part of our place. And so our community is constantly under threat of economic dislocation. So my idea is that we work together and cooperate on the concept of subsistence to free ourselves. That's the nutshell idea right there.
Describe for us what it is not. So somebody might be concerned about, overstepping capitalism.
Right. Well, the problem with being a worker is that we're going to work, we're commuting, we're worried about keeping our job. And when there's a lot of pressure on labor, on the labor supply, in other words, if there's too many workers, we are afraid of either not getting a job or losing our job. So we become a slave to that job. What would happen in a world where you have people cooperating on their subsistence is a bunch of very empowered workers, because people who do not have to go to work can now bargain with the capitalist from a much more empowered place because they don't have to get the job. They can wait. They can re-educate themselves. They can be out of the workplace for a period of time without any threat to their family and their subsistence. And if the community could guarantee that subsistence, then wage slavery would end. It would just be wage workers. So what I'm talking about, it is not about reforming the capitalist system. It is not about creating some sort of tyrannical centralized authority, and it's also not about creating some sort of community based on any kind of philosophy or religious idea. It would simply be based on cooperating on subsistence only. So we're not talking about people gathering around holding hands. A lot of people have these granola or New Age ideas of what communities, cooperatives, and communes are, and that's all true, but it doesn't have to be like that. You can have that, but what I'm talking about is making something that would be palatable for anybody. And in order to do that, then the agreement among the community members would be to cooperate only insofar as subsistence was guaranteed among everybody and no more. And anything that arose out of that would be organic and spontaneous and never, ever, ever forced. So what we're talking about is freedom, and what we're not talking about is asking the state or any kind of authority to do something for us. In fact, we're trying to take back our power from a centralized authority, which in many cases, for example, welfare, is coming, stepping in where economic dislocation happens and is being the provider. Now, there's nothing wrong with people getting welfare. I don't have any problem with people being helped in a socialist context. But when we start to constantly, reflexively think of the state as the guarantor of our subsistence, when we ourselves are capable of providing our own subsistence, we're disempowering ourselves. And you're giving the state an idea that it has a much larger domain than it ought to have.
Correct. So describe for us a day in the life of someone who is participating in this type of co-op.
Okay. I believe you have to break apart the concept of the community cooperative into two phases. One would be the startup phase, and the other would be 10 years, 100 years down the road. Yes, in the beginning, we're talking about people working more hours to get a community going, I think, but I just for the sake of this. Laying out the philosophy, I just want to talk about it 10 years from now, 100 years from now, what my vision is of how it would operate. My idea is that basically you would be doing nothing at all, except maybe a few hours a week. You would be on a rotation to keep the community going in terms of maintenance, working in a pantry, a kitchen, a farm. But the point is we're moving into an era of robotization, automation on a mind-boggling scale. We're on the threshold of that. And human labor is becoming unnecessary in many, many ways, and it's going to be increasingly so. Not only that, but when a bunch of people cooperate to achieve a goal, the amount of individual labor power needed drops down significantly. So it's about harnessing the power of working together for the sake of relieving the amount of labor each individual needs to do to maintain their subsistence. And so in a day in the life of a member of a community cooperative is whatever they want to do, literally. They would have their time, would be completely free to do whatever they want to do.
Which means building and creating and...
Or becoming a worker. If you wanted to be a worker, now you would be doing it from a much more empowered place, and you could be demanding, if everybody was working in, you know, living in community cooperatives, assuming, and we stopped having this crazy... broken system where people from all kinds of places around the world are competing for our jobs. you would have a system of where workers were much more valued and paid a lot more for their time because they're not in a oppressed and desperate situation where they must take whatever the capitalist offers them. In this situation, you could be on a much more level footing with the capitalist, and you would be respected a lot more in terms of how much remuneration you were getting. So I would envision a lot of people would almost have the same lifestyle they have now, you know, those who like going to work, for example. And there's many other people that hate going to work because they don't like their job, but they're stuck in it. And that's just a very impossible conundrum for many people to solve for many, many reasons. I know there's people who think about personal empowerment and how you can create whatever you want, and that's fine and good, and I believe that. But there are so many people that are stuck in very bad economic circumstances for a variety of reasons because they have other people they have to worry about. And so I would say well over 50% of the people out there that are working in jobs are miserable, and they need to be free. And the best way, I believe, for them to be free is to cooperate on their subsistence within their local community, to create a community cooperative, to free themselves from wage slavery so that they can do what they really want to do, what fulfills them. I think more people would become artists and musicians and craftsmen of all kinds, and a lot of people would go back to school and learn history and other things that don't really make money but enrich people in so many different ways. And I would see it go totally across the spectrum, and it would unleash the power and the potential of all the individuals concerned.
So this is not a threat to capitalism, and it's not anything that's going to harm society in any way, other than, you know, so what would be, maybe somebody might be concerned about what the sacrifices might be initially.
Right. It's a legitimate concern, and I even think about it myself. I we talked before about, I mentioned that, you know, oh my God, would I want to give up my house, you know, but it's not about that. It's about getting to that point is the first phase, but then you have to think about once it was well implemented, you know, the next generations especially would be on a whole nother level in terms of personal power. I'm not saying that the first generation involved in it would be completely sacrificing themselves. I just think that the individual labor power in the first phase would be more, just because of practical reasons. But after, I would think after just a few years, the whole goal of the cooperation would be to drive down as much as possible, whenever possible, the amount of contribution everybody needs to make. And contribution is in terms of a rotation of labor based on the needs of what the subsistence needs are. And subsistence needs are housing, food, clothing. So it's like, that's, you can call that shelter, all that together.
You talked in the past about also including health care.
Right, and then there's health care, child care, and elder care. Mm-hmm. I do not include education. We already have educational systems. They work better or worse, but the point is they're in place. And a subsistence is not part of the definition. I mean, education is not part of this, the definition of subsistence. So it's not necessary to include that. Because it's not, I'm not saying that we shouldn't get educated. I'm saying that let's just focus cooperatively on subsistence, and all other things in our life will be a lot easier to handle. So if we cooperated on it, the reason why we go to work is to pay our mortgages and our rents and our health insurance and our child care and elder care, food, clothing. If all of that was taken care of, many people, just that, many people would say, I'll send my kid to public school and I'll become an artist. I'll do what I really want to do. That, because we already have the educational systems in place, and this is not about solving the problem of education. There are problems there, but it works to some to lesser and greater extents. It works. The real emergency here, the real, or I would say exigency rather than emergency, the real important thing to look at is freeing people from wage slavery and guaranteeing their subsistence forever. Making a commitment to that and doing it through the community, because we don't need the state to solve our problems in this respect. And we need to take back our power from the state, because the state is overreaching in this age. You look at, China, the communist system there, it is horrible. And, you know, from an American's point of view, no rights, no guarantees of freedom of speech, just that. But also, it seems from our point of view, I'm not Chinese. I've never lived in China. And I've heard good as well as bad things about China. But I'm just saying that, you know, historically, that kind of overtly stated that the state has total power. You know, I think in America, the state is, people, you know, think of the state not as having total power. But if you really examine it, I think you find that Washington has unbelievable power, and definitely much more so in recent years. I think the different bureaucracies in Washington are overreaching in many different ways. And I think it's because this creeping totalitarianism over the years, it's just in the nature of a state, any state, because who are the people that gravitate towards these centers of power? A lot of them are just megalomaniacs of one form or another. I mean, I'm not saying that all these people are bad, but I'm saying that people that gravitate towards Washington and other centers of power never say no to more power. They don't have any concept of limiting their domain, their scope of what they can do. If there's some logical reason why they think that they can extend their power, they'll do it. And over time, that means that the state grows and grows and grows. And I think you can look at this in a very statistical manner, and you can say, okay, how many laws has Washington passed over time? And I think you'd actually see, what is it? I go this way, you'll see an asymptotic curve. I mean, it's unbelievable how many laws they pass. And I find that to be a threat to my liberty, and a kind of paternalism that is unnecessary and dangerous. And it's because we're not taking responsibility for ourselves as a community, not individually. I think many people do, although a lot of people fall through the cracks of that personal responsibility ethic. And it's because different people have different abilities, or are caught in different times in their life, or they have different levels of education, and they may or may not fit into the capitalist system as a high-functioning earner. So really, the capitalist system only works for people who have the right combination of education and skills and intelligence, and it can never guarantee subsistence for all in a fair and respectful way, a way that respects the integrity of the individual. And the community, like I said, because of hypermobilization, is always under threat. And for a lot of people, that may not mean much, but the truth is that we always have community, whether you like it or not. You can never escape community. The point is how good is your community? How nourishing is it? How human is it? And I would argue that the communities that get developed in bureaucracies are toxic and have a kind of pathology. Whereas a community that's based in that's separated from the capitalist system, for example, your relationship with your neighbor, it's not a capitalist relationship. And if you're good friends with that neighbor and that neighbor and that neighbor, well, that's a community. And those are human-based relationships. When you go to work, that is a capitalist relationship, but you have a different kind of community there. You have a relationship with your boss, with your guy sitting next to you, or you know the people around you. That's a community. But there are rules to that community that do not extend to the rules that are in the other community. This community over here, it's based completely on human relationships. It's organic. This community over here, it can be organic. It can be friendly. It can be nourishing in different ways. But very often it is not. Very often there are people in those communities who are very unhappy. And there's a lot of bureaucratic rules and regulations that dictate the behavior within that community. So that's why I call it toxic and pathological, because it's not a real human community. There's something artificial about it. There's something fake about it. And there's something unstable about it. Whereas this community over here would like to guarantee everybody's subsistence if it could, because it's based on human relationships. This community over here doesn't care if somebody gets fired. They just keep moving on. It's actually based on competition, so they accept that people have to leave the community. So it's an impermanent by its nature. And I'm talking that this kind of community is what we all want and what we all need, and we need to guarantee that and treat it as something sacred.
Can you think of anything else that points that you want to make in regards to this ideal that you would create with this co-op?
Well, we talked about calling this idea localism, and we found on the internet that there already is a term for that, localism, in terms of small economies, small businesses working together. But I'm talking about localism in terms of taking back community and making it real. And out of community comes culture, and out of culture comes heritage over time. Heritage is sacred, no matter who you are, where you come from. And it's something that when you have a bureaucratic form of community, heritage becomes devalued and over time gets lost. But when you create a real community based on the physical location, you get something lasting out of that.
Sounds like happiness, the end result.
Well, that's the idea, is that people don't need anything to be happy. They just need to not be obstructed from being happy. And what's that?
To be fed and to be loved.
Right, well... Right, and that's the point of this, of a community cooperative, is that people are making a commitment to each other's subsistence, and that in itself is an act of love. And so you get out of that spontaneously, you get out of that lasting and meaningful human relationships. It just happens because people are around each other and they've committed to each other. And I guess the big scary thing about talking about this for people is they think again and again and again, they keep thinking, oh my God, some sort of touchy-feely commune. And I have to keep repeating over and over again, it's not about that. We can actually get to the point where people are not even doing anything, maybe a few hours a week. I mean, it's almost like people do volunteer work, you know, a couple hours a week, you know, and they don't think anything of it. I think we could easily get to that point with the right kind of investment and legal structures that were created around it. I think that to a larger degree, creating this kind of community would be just shuffling a bunch of papers around. It would just be people signing trust trust documents that would codify the relationship that they're trying to make, with escape clauses if they didn't want to be part of it anymore for whatever reason, that would respect their right to their whatever property they brought in to the agreement. Over time, I think that the amount of labor needed to guarantee everybody's subsistence would drop off precipitously, and to the point where the community cooperative literally would be indistinguishable from the communities we have now, physically.
And you're not linking a whole community together. You're still staying in your homes. You know, it's not
right. Okay. Right. You're just making an agreement with the people around you who are also wanting to do this, ideally. But nothing really changes, and literally nothing in your life and what you do changes, except you're not a wage slave anymore, and what you're doing is what you really want to do. It sounds like pie in the sky to people, but I think that it's just because they haven't thought through on this level the power that they can get from working with each other on a local level.
That sounds wonderful. fabulous to me, a fabulous idea, especially because as a social worker, I know of so many people who really do not have basically sustenance for themselves. Have a difficult life just trying to make ends meet and getting through life on a basic level. And if some of those people can just be assisted, whereas nobody felt like they were working too hard to lift everybody else up, where everybody felt, you know, that it was equal for all, I think it sounds to me like it would work. So hopefully the masses will spread this around, this YouTube video, and hopefully it takes hold.
Well, I think we're going to need to kind of talk about it a little bit more to flesh out the idea, because this is really a very cursory introduction to the concept. And I think that people, if they listen to this, they're going to have a lot of questions, and they need to understand that I've put a lot of thought into this, and I have answered a lot of these questions. It's just I can't do it in one short video. I'm struggling just coming up with a way to put it all together in one kind of quick summary. But I think we can do anything we want. Our power is unlimited. The problem up until now is that we've been in a constant state of giving our power away. And we've become a sociological term, atomized.
Learned helplessness a little bit.
It's learned helplessness, plus it's everybody being separated from each other. And the burden of subsistence is heaped on every individual. Now, a lot of people hear that and they say, well, what's wrong with everybody being responsible for their own subsistence? Well, the truth is that subsistence can be too much of a burden for different people in different times of their life, especially when the cost of living goes up. And we have no control over the cost of living. That is something that's beyond us. And so we put ourselves at the mercy of these abstractions, the capitalist system, the socialist system, the state. These are all things that it's not necessary for us to be victimized by. We just need to use our intelligence and And also, the big one is that we all have to admit that no matter what, we're always in a community. But the choice is whether we want to be in a nurturing, human, positive, empowering kind of community where each individual can do whatever they want, or we're in a toxic, enslaving, disrespecting. You talk about the people that you help. I can't even imagine how sad it is for how those people inevitably get treated because they're involved in a bureaucracy. They're interfacing with a bureaucracy, and so they're, no matter what, at some point down the line, they're treated like a number. They're dehumanized. They're disrespected, and not by people like you. You're the saints that are in the system that are giving them some form of respect. But the point is it's inevitable that because they're treated in a bureaucratic manner, that their personal integrity and their individual freedom and sense of self is all degraded.
And there used to be some forms of help and assistance and programs, and over the last 10 years or so, I've watched all the structures dwindle, and there really isn't very much help. Hence, you know, more people out there stealing and doing whatever that they can to get what they need.
Right.
And this kind of addresses that issue at some point, maybe in the future too, where perhaps there will not need to be a very much crime because everybody is getting...
Well, we all know that crime, the gigantic portion of crime comes from people who are acting out of desperation. And you eliminate desperation by guaranteeing subsistence. So...
Exactly.
Very simple.
There's so many things that this takes care of, you know, on basic levels, and the ripple effect in the ocean. We could just talk about this all night. So why don't we think of, you know, like, I don't know if you're going to try and get some type of a forum together where you can maybe create a website and people can respond to your ideas, and then you could get the community to start talking about this. And then think of, you know, answering some of the questions that people might have in order to maybe get people to start something up like this.
Right. Well, that's the idea. I mean, this is all about people changing their mind. This is where it all has to begin.
From the me to the we.
Well, this is what I was going to say. I think we're going... One of the big things that's happening in this new era, I mean, I'm just going to call it the new age, the Aquarian age, whatever, an age where the whole world is getting more intelligent, more on a higher spiritual level. I whether people believe that or not, I believe it. And that means that our definition of what being a citizen is going to transform. I believe that we're coming from an infantile definition of citizenship. Oh, please solve our problem, Big Daddy. Oh, please pass this law. Oh, there's some problem over here. We just have to elect the right guy because then he's going to solve the problem. No. That's very silly. That's childish, especially when you're talking about issues that we can solve ourselves. And subsistence is what we can solve. So this is about, you know, we feel we're very adult when we can provide for our family and we have a good job and we can pay our bills. And that is a wonderful thing. That is being an adult. That is being mature. But you know what? We're neglecting a whole nother side. And we're immature in a community sense. We've devolved, you could say, from a community sense, and we've become disconnected, and so therefore we've lost an ability to communicate, to work together on a human level that we need to take back before we get turned into some sort of you know, psychotronic nightmare, in some sort of science fiction, bad science fiction movie, dark science fiction movie where people are turned into robots, you know, they're just cogs in the system. That's a real possibility. And we can only guarantee that we won't go in that direction if we take back our power from the state. And we don't need to point a gun. We don't need to chop heads off. We just need to get with the program and be more mature about repairing our communities. And by repairing our communities, I'm talking about just focusing and cooperating on subsistence and then allowing everything spontaneously to come out of that through the locality, because each locality has something special. Each locality is physical place is something, I don't know, mystical. it's something, mm-hmm. There's some element to it. You know,
it's all about enhancing.
Manchester, England has something very different to offer than Lima, Peru. Okay, they're completely different cultures. They're both wonderful, but they're very different, and that's a good thing. We don't need to genericize the society to make everything equal. We can value the differences in the localities, but we understand that you're going to get something different from each locality, and that's a good thing. But if we just focused on cooperating on subsistence, these special things would arise spontaneously and I'll be allowed to be expressed. That's kind of, yeah.
It in a nutshell.
I hope so.
Up here and, you know, see where we go. See where we go from here. Sound good?
Sounds good. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Jenna.
You're very welcome.
All right.